Chris Gibson, okay, answer me this, Riddler. Who's going to win this presidential election?
I think it's too early to tell.
Okay.
You know, there's probably about a half dozen states I think it's going to come down to. But look, I mean, what's disappointed me about the race to date is you don't see the president talking about his record. And I will tell you that this is what I'm doing every day. You know, folks will try to engage me into conversation about my opponent. I'm running on my record. You know, I think that we've done some real good for
our
area.
Does your opponent have a name, by the way?
He's got a name out there, and you can look it up, I'm sure. But let me just say that, you know, the fact that I worked to lead with Peter Welch on the storm relief that was necessary for the area. You know, we've worked hard on broadband, on constituent-driven issues like Lyme. We got the transportation bill done that was in with the student loan, all very important. We got an FDA bill that people don't talk about that helped with the shortage of prescription drugs. We got an important veterans bill, and I want to say something about this because I don't think enough folks know about it. This bill, this veterans training bill, sits in between the GI bills that are out there right there in our society. And if you're an unemployed veteran listening right now and you're between the ages of 35 and 60, which is really in between the
60?
35 and 60 and you're unemployed, we just passed into law last year a bill that provides for $1,500 a month for you to go to training at a community college to get prepared for employment and linkages with small businesses that are interested in hiring folks that go to that training.
So is the education bill, is the old GI bill, somebody said to me the other day, it's not as good as it was after World War II. Is that right?
I'll tell you, the one we passed is extraordinary. This post-9/11 GI bill. Yeah. Let me just tell you what it is because, you know, I'm actually eligible for it myself. Now, you know, basically you go to
you have a PhD. What do you want now?
Well, the good news about it is this, Alan, is that it's actually transferable. So, you know, a serviceman or woman can actually give it to their spouse or to their children.
Really?
Yes.
That's fascinating.
But let me tell you about the benefit. It's actually, it pays the rate of the tuition for the highest school, state school in your area. So, for example, here in SUNY, you would look at the highest tuition rate. The post-9/11 GI Bill pays for that, and it pays for housing allowance at the Sergeant E5 level, and for $1,000 a
year. Sergeant E5? You mean if you were in the Army at
yes.
Sergeant level?
Yeah,
get
so
that.
You get a housing allowance, and you also get allowances for books.
What if you wanted to go to Cornell or NYU?
Ah, great question. So there's a addendum, which is completely voluntary, called the Yellow Ribbon aspect of the post-9/11 GI Bill. This is voluntary for schools, but there have been an enormous number of schools who have said, if you come to our school with the post-9/11 eligibility, this benefit, we will take the benefit and we will charge you nothing further.
Wow.
So you got like Notre Dame is part of it. Georgetown is part of this. And a good number of other schools.
Amazing.
If you're a veteran out there, yeah, unemployed between the ages of 35 and 60, please call our office, 202-225-5614. We want to help you. We want to explain this benefit for you. This is, I think, very exciting, a chance to go to a community college to either get an associate's degree or to get a certificate to help make you employable going forward.
I didn't catch that phone number. You want to do it one more time?
Yeah, 202-225-5614.
Well, you're really an expert on military affairs and other things that are very important to the security of the country. So I wanted to ask you about the big question about leaks. There is an assumption out there that the Obama administration has been leaking. He says, I'm not doing it. You know, is this one of those things in which somebody points a finger and says somebody's leaking and then you either believe it or you don't?
Well, we don't know the answer. I believe there's an investigation ongoing, and I think that in moments like this, we shouldn't be making definitive statements until we know something definitively. Mm-hmm. So I think that we should allow for an investigation to occur and reserve any judgments until we find out the facts.
So you think it's a red herring?
I don't know.
Okay. What's going on in Syria?
Well, you know, clearly there's an insurgency in Syria.
I'm sorry, I want to interrupt. You've never been for our sending troops to do democracy building, in quotes, to these countries. You always said, let's keep our people at home.
Well, what I've said is these things are a heck of a lot more complicated than people realize. I don't support U.S. military forces going to Syria. I do think that we can play a role diplomatically, and we have been. But I would tell you that the situation in Syria is a lot more murky than in the initial read of that in the media. For example, the opposing forces, they come from a wide variety of political backgrounds, and there's reason to believe that part of that background includes those that have been hostile to our country. So again, I want to underscore that it's variegated in terms of one thing they all agree upon is they want to see this regime end, and that's largely where the agreement ends itself among the rebels.
We could end up, what you're saying is we could end up in worse shape than we are now in terms of people running Syria.
Look, it's possible, but the other thing I want to point out is it's important that, you know, for issues such as these in countries all across the world, that we can play a role in terms of diplomacy, and I say that broadly defined, including, you know, economic sanctions. But we should be very wary about entangling ourselves in the military strife in countries around the world, because whether or not we're going to be successful has a dubious factual background in terms of looking at history. And there are unintended consequences that when you don't have full view of the history and culture of that country could come to the fore and could hurt us.
And while I'm on the subject, Afghanistan?
I think the president has got the right plan here. We are in the final phase of our operations in Afghanistan, and we have a plan to be completed of combat operations by 2014. We are focusing right now on the security forces in Afghanistan. I think that's the right approach. We have already begun to withdraw forces. We're going to continue to withdraw forces. And what I hope is that not only do we stay with that timeline, but that we then learn, because we can't afford to be spending a decade to do this kind of work. But I also tell you this, that if you start something like Iraq and Afghanistan, if you start something like that, you have to finish it. You have to stabilize it to the degree that we did in Iraq. Look, Iraq today is not a Jeffersonian democracy, but we have advanced those institutions to the point where there's relative stability, and they're relatively friendly to us. So what I would tell you is that the important thing now is we learn from these experiences, because, you know, on the situation with Iraq, you know, we'll never know if we needed to go to Iraq but I will tell you this, we didn't need to go when we went. But as to whether or not that would ever be the case, it's an unknown, it's unknowable at this point. But we prematurely went in 2003.
Our friend Chris Gibson, thank you so much, Chris, for being here. Always love it when you come in and we actually can sit across the table from each other and talk. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Alan, for the opportunity, and God bless all the listeners out there.